Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's the refreshing!
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Full-Time Report with Abe Gordon. The home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's Abe Gordon and John Nelson. Soccer down here. Atlanta United falls in this one 2-1 to the Los Angeles Galaxy, despite arguably one of their stronger performances of the season. But the scoreline is where ultimately it matters. And today, for a number of different reasons, they did not get it done. We're going to talk about that over the course of the full-time report, but very quickly, as we usually get started off, Madison Cruz caught up with Tata Martino on the field right after full whistle.
Tata, what did you see from the touchline?
I think we had 10 or 15 very poor minutes, and it cost us the match.
What did you see happen in those two goals that were conceded?
We made mistakes in our build-up that cost us. They were able to play into space and score the goals that made the difference.
Gracias.
Yeah, I mean, look, I had notched both of those down, especially that first point. And I know, John, you're rewatching these goals, and,
yep,
and you're certainly focused on that second point. Mistakes in the build-up, mistakes in transition, mistakes turning offense to defense are effectively – defense to offense for them, really cost you over the span of a five-minute stretch. And for me, it's a story that we've read before here, and it's responding to moments. You go ahead, within 5 minutes, it's equalized. You've now conceded. Within 5 minutes, you've conceded a second time, and he's right. Very, very strong performance for 70 minutes for Atlanta United.
Mm-hmm.
10 minutes, it was all gone, all wiped off the map, and even down the stretch, it was strong again, but you just couldn't quite find a finish to pull even. This is a really, really tough one. It's frustrating, especially because the season felt like it had turned, right? If you had lost these last three games and the season was still down in the dumps, this one is like, all right, another one of those. It feels different now because you had started to turn the corner a little bit.
And you had it in your hands after the Jay Fortune goal, and it's there for you chasing after that fourth win in a row in multiple competitions. And then it, you know, you mentioned turning into moments, and I think another moment that deserves a lot of credit is Greg Vanney's substitution and bringing in Marco Royce. And he has caused trouble for countries and leagues across this planet and other planets for, you know, 15 plus years. And so when Marco Royce comes in, he once again is giving you another individual that you have to lock into. And when you see, especially in the second goal, the first goal, the vision that Marco Royce has, seeing Gabriel Peck, and you give Atlanta United credit defensively because Gabriel Peck had been held in check, was a poet, didn't know it, for most of that 70 minutes. Gabriel Peck was, and Mike had made the call on the air that Gabriel Peck was, he's calling for the ball like a child chasing after a cookie, and that's what you were getting from Gabriel Peck. He was a non-factor in this match, and the defense was there keeping him and Joseph Paintsil in check for most of that 70 minutes. Then Marco Royce comes in, And he adds – he's that activator that they had to help things out when it came to the second half as well. And so, you know, you end up with turnovers, and we can – you know, we'll probably itemize the goals as we go. But you have those moments. You have lethality in transition. You have L.A. making it available for Gabriel Peck, two goals on the board. And you end up going from 1-0 up to 2-1 down. And it's a loss by the end of 90 minutes.
All right, quick look at the statistics here. Possession slightly in favor of Atlanta United, 52% to 48%. Shots 12 to 10 in favor of Atlanta United. Shots on goal in favor of the Galaxy, 6 to 3. And the XG largely in favor of the Galaxy, 2.3 to just 1 for Atlanta United. But, again, the stats are one thing. You sit and watch the game. This was a game that Atlanta United simply did have control of.
Mm-hmm.
It was frustrating to find it scoreless at half.
Well,
we'll get into that.
I know.
You kind of sat there at halftime and said, man, if you can play 45 more like that, you're going to feel pretty good about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the concern was, how do you come out of halftime? I think you picked it right back up out of halftime. You were playing well. You then go in the lead there with Jay Fortune and quite an outstanding goal from him.
Yes.
And you're feeling really good about yourself for about 4 minutes, and then they equalize, and then they get a second, and all of the work that you would put in the first 65 minutes are essentially wiped off, and now you're chasing. So this is a tough one because it was a match.
It was yours.
Atlanta United was the better squad.
It was yours.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no other way to say it. This match was yours, and with the goal from Jay with 20 to go,
yeah,
then it was up to you to close it out, and Tata, you know, through Justin Delhaus, set it 10 to 15 poor minutes, and you go from, say, 70. Well, I mean, you go 10. That's it. 69 to 79.
Yeah, it's just 10.
Jay Fortune gets the goal in the 69th. You go 10 minutes. That's it. You get the two on the board for LA, and that's ball game.
We do have to hand out, before we break, a man of the match. Who are we going with in today's 2-1 loss here, John?
Oh, Jay. Absolutely. Jay Fortune. Welcome back. Jason had made the point during the broadcast that if you have not had the opportunity, there is a feature that is over at soccerdownhere.net, and it was just before Jay's return, and it goes into a lot of different things that Jay has gone through in his comeback, in his recovery, in that road. And so Jay Fortune having that kind of a seminal moment coming back here to be a part of the first team for Atlanta United, getting the goal on the board for the lead, Jay Fortune making it 1-0. He's without question player of the match.
Had just been subbed on less than 10 minutes prior to that goal, and we'll talk about Jay as we get to it, but really nice to see him being involved directly into goal scoring. I know everyone wants to add aspects to their game. I think if you ask Jay, hey, he can set up. We know he can control the midfield, play a little defense as well. Being that dangerous, what we saw today is something that you're probably looking for out of a complete player, and I think he showed you he can be that guy. We'll
and
talk
when,
more
yeah,
about
I was going to say,
Jay,
when
yeah.
when we play that highlight, then we'll talk about it more because of what we saw out of Jay Fortune in that moment.
Well, that highlight is coming up next, along with, unfortunately, the two for the Los Angeles Galaxy, because that's what we do here on the Full Time Report in Segment 2. We let you listen back to what happened over the course of the match. That's coming your way in 5 minutes. It's the Full Time Report. Abe Gordon, John Nelson of Soccer Down here on Sports Radio 92.9.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
Game. Full time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta United falls to the Los Angeles Galaxy 2-1 in this one. This ends their winning streak in all competitions, ends their MLS winning streak as well. And they're going to be hitting the road for a couple of months, although, again, some time
97
off.
Days, I think?
Partially. Obviously,
yeah, I know
the World
that you
Cup
got
break,
the yeah,
but,
got them,
yeah. Yeah, they're not back here for an MLS match. Until August 15th, I believe, is the date. Mm. So the rest of these for a while will be from the Kia Studios. But tonight we are at Mercedes-Benz Stadium breaking down what happened. And we do that with a look back and a listen to the highlights. They're brought to you by SCANA. For over 20 years, SCANA Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. Scoreless all the way through half. A sub is made in the 60th minute. That brings Jay Fortune on to the field. And a couple of touches later, or a couple of minutes later in the 69th, he gives Atlanta a long-awaited lead.
From Fortune into the corner. Baez not releasing it yet. Now he does to Saba. Flick down to Baez on the far touchline. He nutmegs his man and gives it to Fortune. Fortune on the left wing to the top of the 18. Fortune now parallel to goal. Turns and shoots. Score! A stroke of great fortune for Atlanta United. They find the opening goal of the match in the 69th minute.
Really nice performance from Jay. We'll break that one down in a moment. But unfortunately, that excitement, that jubilation did not last long. Just 5 minutes later, Gabriel Peck finds one on the break.
Rolls to Moyamba on the near touchline. He backheels it, but unfortunately to Tommy. And here's a break by Royce up to the halfway line. Played ahead for Peck. Barakal stepped up and couldn't take it away. And Peck scores to tie the game. I think Barakal got caught in a moment of indecision, and it cost him. And Atlanta's lead lasts only 3 minutes.
And the equalizing goal only stood for about 3 or 4 minutes because it was Gabriel Peck with a second one shortly thereafter.
Looped ahead on the right wing, where it's immediately sent back to Glesnes, and he'll bounce it ahead to Cuevas now on the far touchline. Cuevas with the through ball to Royce, who's behind Barakal. Royce to the top of the 18. Into the box. Cross to Peck. Shot. Blocked. Rebound. Score. Peck again. Atlanta United now down 2-1.
All right, so let's work backwards on these, John.
All right, let's work backwards.
The second goal from Gabriel Peck. Look, L.A. gets out on the break. They have numbers. You actually recovered decently well despite the numbers. It's not fun to say because it's eventually the game-winning goal. It's honestly just a little bit of bad luck. Oyles makes the save. It ricochets back off of Jacob and then is sitting there for Peck who to just punch it through. So it's really just bad luck. It was a 4-on-3, really a 4-on-2, but your third gets back. It's just a tough break. If that ball ricochets anywhere else off of Oyles, doesn't hit Jacob, you know, it's probably not sitting there for Peck. You probably escape that, and it stays 1-1. Luck is part of it, unfortunately.
Yeah, Tomas Jacob is facing. So Oyles makes the save, and the ball ricochets out toward Jacob, who has his back to play, not his back to goal, but his back to the rest of the play, and the ball ends up getting somewhat tangled inside of Jacob, and Jacob is trying to scramble while his butt is on the ground, trying to just send it someplace, and
it looked like if he had kicked it, he was going to own goal.
Well, yeah, so, or just, you know, just the proximity of his legs to where the ball was, you can't quite, you know, twist it to get it away in time. And so Peck is crashing at that point. He gets to it first before Jacob can clear, and it ends up smashed in the net from 6 yards out. So that was the 2-1 goal.
All right, going back to the equalizer is also from Gabriel Peck. Look, it starts with Tristan Moyamba. He's trying to save a ball along the end line there, along the touchline. Mm-hmm. Back heel, didn't get enough juice on it,
right.
And it back heels right. A couple of quick touches to get out on the break. And then finally, I think it was Baez maybe who tried a last-ditch slide to try and touch it away. Doesn't get anything on the ball. And then Peck is in on goal and
yeah.
He finishes.
So the way that it starts, Tristan's trying to keep it from going out. Miller is there. Miller pushes it forward. He gets it to Paintsil. Paintsil, who is basically being hand-checked by Steon Gregerson. Paintsil, just a quick touch. He sees out of the corner of his left eye, he sees that Royce is there. And after Royce gets the delivery, he's got a lot of room, and Atlanta United's back line is basically trying to backtrack to get into position. And Gabriel Peck, moving forward, is in a better position to navigate than the defense from behind trying to, you know, square up against him, being Elias Baez. And it's just put in the low section of the net by Gabriel Peck, who had really been looking for possession that he had not been getting. But Royce, when he came in, created more opportunities. It's that positional gravity that we talk about, and it was just easy for Peck. Peck goes past Baez. Baez tried to go for the slide tackle to dispossess, didn't get it. And it goes into the net for that first goal in the five-minute period.
Yeah, a couple of things here, because I like to give credit where it's due. I do want to credit L.A. for getting out on the break. I think they do a great job of creating the odd man rush there. I also feel I have to be very critical of Elias Baez here. I don't like how he defended it initially, and then obviously he gets flat-footed beat by Peck, and then once he goes down, Peck is just in on goal. So a little bit of a tough look for Baez there. He was stand alone one-on-one there and unfortunately unable to get it done. And that brings us back all the way to the initial strike, and that's Jay Fortune. Starts on the far side of the field as you and I were sitting along the left touch line. Cuts it back in again. The United players surrounding him, I think it was at the time maybe Saba and one more, kind of just move out the way and give him space, and he does another dribble. And a really nice right foot bending shot outside of the reach of the keeper for the game's opening goal.
I think it was, in addition to everyone, I think initially it was Latte Lott and I think it was Saba that were there for Jay. And in this goal, you see Jay duck in once. The defenders for the Galaxy commit forward and they stop. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this. So pass goes through the defender to Jay. Jay is surveying. He gets right to the edge of the 18. Basically fakes Jakob Gleznes. And Gleznes steps forward because he thinks Jay's going to wind and go. Then Jay pulls it back again, gives himself a little more room. And it was that window that he needed, just a couple of feet, and he just powers it right past JT Marcinkowski. And Cerrillo got caught as well. So you see Jay go in once, he fakes Gleznes out. He goes in a second time, Cerrillo gets faked out, and then he just finds that opening. So it was a great moment for Jay Fortune in this comeback, and the celebration that was there for everyone with Atlanta United in that moment. I think that it personifies everything that he was fighting to get to have a moment like this with the first team.
Of course, the only thing that's disappointing is it didn't stand up as a game-winning goal, and we're not celebrating 3 points here. We are going to hear from Jay. I want to talk more about Jay Fortune on the other side. Also, we will talk about why this game, how this game was 0-0 at halftime. Most of us, probably most of you, don't believe it should have been. We'll talk about that as we continue here. It is the Full-Time Report. Abe Gordon, John Nelson on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane.
Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's Abe Gordon, John Nelson. The full-time report continues here. Atlanta United falls today 2-1 to the Los Angeles Galaxy, but wasn't without its bright moments. In fact, quite a bunch of bright moments throughout the course of the game, but none brighter than Jay Fortune. His individual golazo effort in the 69th minute gave Atlanta United a 1-0 lead. Hope that would hold up. Unfortunately, it didn't. Jay Fortune caught up after the game with Madison Cruz and Jason Longshore of Soccer Down Here.
Changed after you get the goal, and it felt like, you know, Galaxy take control of the game 5 minutes later.
I think it's just understanding game management a little bit. Obviously, we want to go for a second or third, but at the same time, too, we have to ensure the victory. I think talked about it before the game, the most dangerous in transition, and we allowed them to get two goals that way. So I think it's just understanding the game better.
Hate that your goal gets lost in it, but walk us through how your goal came.
Just picked it up out wide. Thought I heard somebody behind me, so at that point, just decided to pick up the speed a little bit. Just saw lanes closing that I was looking to pass into, and then from there, once you get top of the box, I mean, just trying to finish it. Supposed to have a few goals this season that I didn't get, so I really wanted that one.
Couple of games coming up against Orlando League and then Open Cup. What do you want to see be sharper in these two?
I think not quite ready to say it's the end of the world. I mean, the last three or four games have been better. It's just about getting back to those fundamentals, which I think were there for most of this game. Just seeing it out for 90 minutes, doing the right things, and just being smart with how we see games out and making sure that when we have the lead, we're able to keep it.
Well, there you have it from Jay Fortune. Again, it, both mature, impressive, everything all wrapped into one in what was certainly a frustrating, it's a tough interview, right? Because you want to celebrate the individual brilliance that you put out there, but certainly no one cares, especially not Jay, if it doesn't come with the 3 points that this team probably arguably deserved today.
Stand-up young man front to back, absolutely
yeah.
True.
So there you have it from Jay Fortune. And it's one of the things this team still needs to work on. We've talked about it at times with Maddie in the pregame, and certainly I've had to deal with it with you in the postgame here. Too often, whether you score, the other team scores. Whether they score again. There's just been too many of those stretches, and I agree with what he said. Mm-hmm. Look, at 70 minutes, you're not just sitting there holding on to a 1-0 lead. That's what happens when you score in the 84th, right? You know, you can kind of play out the string and just kind of brace for it late.
Mm-hmm.
Too much time, so you know you're not just going to hold on for it.
No,
so
but the DNA of this club is to continue to chase after opportunities and stay within the personality that they are. They're not going to go against type just because they're up a goal with 20 minutes to go. They're not just going to sit and go, okay, we're going to go to the Laredo garage and we're going to bring all the buses that we can and we're going to sit there and we're going to just stop where we are right now. They're not going to hit a pause button or a stop button. They're going to continue to hit play and fast forward.
But now the challenge is, and I agree with you 100%, now the challenge is doing that intelligently. And I think that is partially what's frustrating today. And we see this from the lowest levels of youth soccer all the way up to today. Never save a ball towards your own goal where you can't recover defensively. And that's essentially what happened on that first goal from Tristan Moyamba. I understand what he's trying to do. Is it the worst thing in the world if you just plays it out of bounds, you recover defensively for a throw-in, stuff like that. And so it's difficult because it leads to a goal, and then 5 minutes later you're trailing 2-1.
Yeah, and it's the first two things that Jay said that stick with you here. It's about understanding game management,
mm-hmm.
and also the idea that they talked about it during the week, that LAG is most dangerous in transition. and what happened off of the two turnovers with Marco Royce in the lineup in the second half. Dangerous in transition. Literally, it was 4 seconds from point of contact to you're off and running, and it's, you know, Gabriel Peck, who is just the word I keep coming back to is lethal. And when you have a transition offense that is basically Paintsil, Royce, Peck, shoot, goal. And I'm talking about the first one because the second one we talked about, and it has, you know,
tough luck,
you know, other things that are attached to it. But literally it was 4 to 8 seconds of Paintsil, Royce, Peck, shot, goal, tie. It was that fast. Literally, as I was constructing the sentence, that was just about half of the time it took for that to go from LAG in possession off of the turnover and gaining it off of Tristan's trying to save it from going out to Gabriel Peck shooting it and putting it in the back of the net. That's who LAG are. And Atlanta United, off a turnover, got caught kind of flat-footed and trying to have to defend going backward, and you end up with that goal to make it 1-1.
All right, we've talked about the second half in which you scored once and conceded twice. We also need to talk now about the first half. It goes
how much time do we have left in this segment?
We're going to take a break so you have a little
bit more time. Thank you, sir, yes.
There is some good that comes along with it. I do want to focus on Saba and what he was able to do in the first half as well. But there are some obvious discussions that need to be had about the guy not wearing a Atlanta United kit and not wearing a Los Angeles Galaxy kit tonight. Of course, we were talking about the officials. We'll get to that on the other side. It is the Full-Time Report. Abe Gordon and John Nelson on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is the Full-Time Report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The Full-Time Report continues here. It's Abe Gordon, John Nelson. We talked plenty, John, about what took place in the second half. It was one goal for Atlanta United, followed by a pair of goals, unfortunately, for the Los Angeles Galaxy. It's a 2-1 loss for the Five Stripes. But in the first half, really, really strong play from the squad. It is a performance that ultimately goes unrewarded because it's 0-0 at halftime. I want to start here before getting into the other stuff.
Sure.
I thought Saba was incredibly dangerous in the first half. I thought at times Latte Loth was good as well. I do think Saba started to run out of some tricks at some point. Feels like he only has one move. Cut in, kick it with your right foot. I'd love to see him maybe fake the cut on the right and put it back on the left at some point just to add to his arsenal. But he was dangerous when running at players. The 20th minute, he had a really nice bending shot. JT Marcinkowski, just gets enough of it. And it was one of the, you know, it was funny because I saw him get the touch. I was like, keep bending. And he just took all the bend off of the shot. It just misses the far post. But that was one that was very, very close to being a goal. We'll get to the other one in the 41st here as we break down the rest.
So you're building again. You're coming from the beginning. Yeah.
Well, I just pointing out that I thought Saba was really dangerous in this one. And I was sitting up there with Maddie, and it's just like, hey, man, this could lead to something really nice for Atlanta United. Unfortunately, ultimately, into halftime, it didn't. But it felt like one of those games where Saba was going to find one, couldn't quite strike it down. That was early on. As you played out this first half, though, there became some real issues, some real, I would say, inadequacies. I mentioned Saba's attempt on goal was in the 20th minute.
Right.
Kind of started to fall apart there. After that,
I think
not
right.
due to the players of Atlanta United, nor to anything the Los Angeles Galaxy was doing. And look, I will probably be one of the later people to start complaining about officiating. I thought this was pretty egregiously bad in the first half. I thought it got better as the game went on, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah.
But I thought the first half, especially from, let's say, minutes 25 to 50, which I know slides into the second half, but 25 until the rest of halftime was really, really bad stuff, included a number of yellow cards to Atlanta United, including one to the bench.
Yeah, two to the bench, actually. And so, to your point, yellow on the 26th, yellow on the 28th, yellow on the 30th. So at least it was even numbers. But what we like to do on Fridays, on the morning show over at SDH, is I make a point to let everyone know who the ref crews are. And that's for
you,
center
ref. You prepare
ref.
Us for a brace. You tell us to brace ourselves
basically,
for what's about to happen.
Yeah, so what I try to do is I try to come up with empirical evidence about what to expect from center refs. And where Fotis Bazakis was concerned going into this match, fouls per match, lower half, averaging 25.5 fouls called per match this season. So 18th out of 31 this season when it comes to fouls. Well, wait a second. Am I in the right year? Because sometimes who scored will sit there and they'll mess with you. Okay, so Fotis Bazakis, 18th out of 31 in fouls called per match at 25.57. Then you get into fouls per tackle, and he is 15th, so middle of the pile at 0.8. He did have his own share of penalties that he called this year, and then yellows per match, he was 6th. But if you take away the two center refs that only called one match, Fotis Bazakis was 4th in average of yellows per match at just under 4.75. So basically, he doesn't really call a whole lot of fouls. And when he does call fouls, his ratio of yellows to fouls is fairly close.
And I think that's what is most frustrating today, because I was sitting up there with Matty Cruz, and you were up there as well. I think generally we were all okay with the fouls being called. I think going to the yellows that early, with the exception of the Cooper Sanchez one, which I think I can give, although it's a little bit of acting, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing any time an elbow or forearm comes up near a head, especially when there's not in the run of play.
Well, and then there was also a discussion that it could have been for dissent when the foul was called on Cooper for leaning on Cerrillo in the first place. And so then you end up with Cerrillo, the instant contact is made by Cooper Sanchez, he goes down. Cooper, you hear the whistle, and then Cooper looks and he does the wave off, and then you're pretty much told at that point that you're supposed to get a card. So you end up with knowing going in that Fotis Bazakis is more than happy to give yellow cards, and on average he doesn't really call a whole lot of fouls in a 90-minute period here in 2026. He calls 3 yellow card fouls within 4 minutes on 3 Atlanta United players. And so the bar that we talk about, okay, what constitutes a foul, what constitutes, what doesn't, it is all over the place. You don't know what's a foul, you don't know what is, and this crew has taken what is a foul and turned it into something a lot more than a Jeopardy question. You know, you're trying to figure out where the line is, and it was just completely and totally all over. It was like an Etch-a-Sketch broke, trying to figure out where the line
again,
is.
Again, I didn't have an issue with the fouls themselves.
No.
It was the cards that didn't really make a lot of sense, because it wasn't persistent infringement or anything like that. It was way too early in this game to try and be losing control or handing them out. So whatever. It wasn't great. Ultimately, I'm not sure that necessarily impacted Atlanta. I know once you have a yellow, you play a little different. I understand that. The bigger issue, I think, for many people here in attendance, and there were over 40,000 people in the building today, was in the 41st minute.
Ugh.
And this is a corner kick taken by Saba that eventually lands on the head of Juan Barakal at the back post, and he punches it into the back of the net. You almost didn't recognize it had been ruled a foul and a non-goal in the moment.
Mm-mm.
Because of the explosion of fans. But I guess they ruled, and I think it was Jacob maybe.
It was Galarza.
Maybe it was Matias Galarza there. They had ruled that he
fouled
and made contact with the with
JT Marcinkowski.
Galaxy goalie Marcinkowski.
Go ahead and explain it, because I'm just going to say my words here. Keep going. I'm going to let you finish your
couple
paragraph.
Couple of things here. Galarza has the right to that space. So let me just start there. Him just standing there alone is not a foul. Mm-hmm. Now, did he impede Marcinkowski on the way to the ball? In my purview, no.
No,
the,
because
the ball is over both of them. He's not coming forward to the ball.
No.
Did he have his hand on Marcinkowski? Yes.
Yeah,
did
early.
He pull or push him? I didn't see it.
No.
Maybe they had a different angle. Marcinkowski makes an Oscar reel out.
Marcinkowski goes down like he's in Sunday church and he's prepping for it. You know, he just
look,
goes slightest touch.
I thought it was light. I thought it was very light.
You're being nice.
I'm just telling you how I saw it.
I know.
I thought it was very light. I don't think it impacted the play. I think it was a desperate attempt for Marcinkowski to get anything to happen because he was not near the ball. He played it horribly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess he played it well getting the foul called.
Right.
But in terms of the corner itself, he played it horribly. You can't let it go over your head like that to a guy back post.
Mm-mm.
I think at some point when the ball was in the air, he knew he was out of place and just did what he could for a desperate attempt. And the referee falls for it. My personal opinion, it was not enough to be called a foul. It should have been a goal.
Mm-hmm.
In the 41st minute, you should be up 1-0. They overruled it. They said that Galarza
sure
had his arm around it or whatever, enough contact. Mm-hmm. He goes down. Look, I understand. I had multiple people see it both ways. I did.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, mm-hmm, my opinion
right
was that that was not enough contact to be overturning a goal.
And then from there, for VAR not to address the play itself in whatever way, whether it was, you know, we're not even going to look at it, you know, we don't know what Inside the VAR studio is going to give us coming up next week, but we don't know what conversations were had from VAR and AVAR to Fotis Bazarkas. We don't know if VAR was like, nah, man, this is on you, this is all yours, we're going to stick with your decision. We don't know if VAR was like, you know, we were watching Golden Girls and, you know, we don't know what happened. So this is concern on two levels. Because you have had, in 21 minutes, you have had basically four instances and one a double instance with this goal that wasn't happening in the 41st minute. You have three yellows issued in a four-minute period. Then the rhythm and any kind of control that you might have had in calling a match goes out the window, and then you have this moment in the 41st where it was a great three-iron by Saba. Marcinkowski is serious, you know, he is completely out of place. Barakal slams it in the back of the net, which is what you're wanting from your center backs in these situations in the first place. And then you go back and look at it on video, and you see basically that it's, you know, almost like in the back seat of the car with the younger brother and the older brother. I'm touching you, I'm touching you, I'm touching you. And Marcinkowski goes down, and they call a foul. You have concerns on multiple levels. And what we don't want, and before anybody, you know, and I know Monday morning we're going to talk about this too, I don't want anybody to misunderstand for a double negative. I don't want folks to sit there and say, well, it was a factor in the game. It was a factor in the game at the time. And then if this goal goes in the back of the net, you're talking about something 2-2. Game state changes. You're up 1-0 in the 41st minute. You get to the half. Then you're up 1 heading into the second half. You don't know how the second half is going to go.
Yeah.
So you have
put it aside because you were in the position you needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
In the 70th minute, you were in the position you needed to be either way.
And so the bottom line here is this. That this particular play seemed to be a microcosm of this crew tonight. And what you don't want in Major League Soccer as a top 12, top 10 league in the world, on this or any other planet, you don't want to have these kinds of discussions, but we need to have these kinds of discussions to remind us what can improve, what needs to improve, where we are when it comes to Major League Soccer and its officials. You want them to. You want to have the best. You want to be better. But that 21-minute stretch is going to be something that needs to be looked at, filed away, bookmarked, what have you, going forward.
And ultimately, you put it aside because you were where you needed to be, up 1-0. But that doesn't mean you're always going to be up 1-0 in the second half. And so you want to make sure that in the future, these sorts of decisions possibly are in line to go your way in case you need them.
And they only called, and Fotis Bazarkas only called 11 fouls in this match.
Yeah.
Six on Atlanta, five in the first half, and five yellow cards on Atlanta in the first half, two on coaches, and three on players in a four-minute period.
All right. Well, we got to move past this one because a big stretch of games still on the way for Atlanta United. Not going to be at home, but that doesn't make it any less important. Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $2,000. When we come back, we'll take one last look at this game and start to turn the page and look forward to Orlando. That's what's coming your way next. It is the Five Stripe. It is the Full-Time Report. I want to restart the whole thing, the whole day.
Rewind it, babe.
It is the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dave Gordon, John Nelson breaking down a 2-1 loss for Atlanta United. Before we turn the page here, John, I want to take a kind of a overarching look back at tonight's performance from Atlanta United. I thought Saba was really good in the first half. Latte Loth at times, too. You go in, as we just talked, scoreless there. Obviously, the sub for Jay Fortune comes at 60 minutes. He has an outstanding goal in the 69th. But that only stands for 5 minutes, and then 5 minutes after that, now it's 2-1 for the LA Galaxy. Atlanta United picks it back up after that, but unable to find the goal. And it's one of the more unfortunate results, and it goes back to maybe 5, 6, 7 matches ago where you felt like you were playing well for stretches and you weren't getting the results there. Tonight was something, and Jay had mentioned it as well, and Tata also in his post-match interview, you played well for almost the entirety of this match with the exception of, I guess we could say 10 minutes, but almost really with the exception of two specific individual moments.
Right, yeah, we talk about game state all the time.
This was a really impressive performance for Atlanta United. Unfortunately, it's going to get lost due to the result. But I do think you can hopefully move past the result as a franchise and take away some of the positives that you can draw from it, because you've got a couple of really big matches coming up. Both of them, it's an extended stay there in Orlando. Obviously the MLS match day a week from today, but then you're sticking around there for US Open Cup. I think both teams should just agree that whatever happens Saturday should just stand for Tuesday, and that way you can get out of Orlando.
Well, if Atlanta wins.
Well, no, just whatever happens, happens. You know, just you play one match, it's makes two games.
It's not a one match.
I'm pretty sure
results,
the people at US Open Cup are not going to go.
Yeah,
down
they would
that.
Not be happy with that. No,
but you play Orlando back to back. It creates some interesting discussions, some fascinating moments. I know, obviously, with the road game, Maddie will be with me for the post game next week. But mm-hmm. I mean, going to be really interesting chatter coming off of whatever happens next Saturday because of your turning around Tuesday and facing them again, and what are the rotations going to look like,
yeah,
all that.
That's a big one.
Look, this is a team in Atlanta United that has played very well, started to get some results. I thought they played very well again tonight, didn't get the result. Now you have to find it in you to rebound, bring the performance again, and just hope the result matches up.
Yeah, and Orlando had another clunker today. They went up to Montreal, and Montreal scored twice north of 90 minutes. And you had, literally, it was Daniel Rios and Dagger Dan Thorhalsson scoring, I think it was 90+4, 90+8. And Orlando right now, same record as Atlanta United, but the defense that Orlando has by far, is the worst in the Eastern Conference and worst in Major League Soccer. You have Red Bulls have given up 28 goals through 12 match weeks. Worst in the Western Conference is Sporting Kansas City. Now, we know how poor Sporting Kansas City is this year. Given up 26 goals in their first 10 matches. They've only won once in their first 10. Their defenses, their goals allowed, are well behind Orlando. Orlando has given up 34 goals this season in 12 matches. So basically you're looking at something close to 3 goals a match given up and averaging a little over a goal a match scored. But the defense was absolutely porous early in the season. Oscar Pareja was dismissed. They now have in Martin Perelman, their caretaker manager for the rest of this season. So Orlando is still trying, I think, to find their footing, whatever that is. And so you're going to have this matchup early on Saturday. Then after this one, you look at your minutes, because with this Open Cup matchup, and I think that for Atlanta United, it's going to be as close to first-choice lineup as possible. Because you win this match in Open Cup, you go down there, and you win this matchup in the quarterfinals, you are in the semifinal. You are three wins away from being in CONCACAF Champions League, in the Champions Cup. So, and that first
three step, wins right now.
Yeah,
would
three
be
wins.
Two
yeah,
if you
three
beat
wins
them,
right
yeah.
now. You are three wins as we speak from being in CONCACAF Champions Cup next time around.
Yes.
So if you are that close, you're going to put in first choice lineups, and you're going to try and get through the quarterfinals in Orlando against the team that defensively has had issues so far in 26.
Look, you would think maybe they have the same mindset, but I would have said the same about Charlotte. We saw the lineup that they ran out there,
mm-hmm.
so that's on them. Who cares? Look, that's going to do it here, but it'll be an interesting start, I guess, to this stretch, too, because Atlanta United's hitting the road for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, eight straight games.
97 days, I think.
Whatever, however many matches. And look, the home portion of the schedule, very home-loaded early on. Didn't go as well as you would have hoped,
nope.
but started to turn the page a little bit towards this back end of the stretch. And
yep.
now you're going to have to carry all of that onto the road if you can. All right, that's going to do it here for the full-time report. Join us again 6:30 on Saturday, May 16th for our next broadcast as Atlanta United will take on Orlando City.
Orlando.
Thanks, as always, to Dom Cherosky.
Thank you, Dom.
Our producer back in studio. And to Jake Cook.
Thank you, Jake.
Our on-site engineer. For Mike and Jason.
Thank you, Mike and Jason.
Voices of Atlanta United. And Madison Cruz.
Thank you, Maddie.
And John Nelson.
Thank you, John.
Both of Soccer Down Here.
Check.
I'm Abe Gordon.
Thank you, Abe.
Once again, the final today, Atlanta United 1, the LA Galaxy 2 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Go watch it.
You've been listening to the Full Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.